Well, thank you, John. And I don't know, John, if you mentioned, but also on that day, did you mention about the giving?
Well, I wasn't sure we were allowed to give.
I think we're allowed to. Our giving is going to be different that day. The giving, since 125 years we've been in this neighborhood, that all of the giving for that day is going to go to ministries that either we do or that we partner with that bless this neighborhood. So it's kind of a unique, all of the giving is going to go to that. So that I think that's going to be really cool. I'm excited to be teaching these two classes. Thank you for being here. I'm really excited. We got. Y'all notice we have our youth group right up here on the front. They're looking so good and sharp, and they have pencils out ready to take notes. And but I'm glad they're here because you guys are a part of our church. And as we're thinking about who we're going to submit for recommendations for elders, you guys can do that. We all can do that. And so I appreciate that you guys are here and that all of us are here. I want to begin, and Kim, if we can just go ahead and skip to the second slide, keep going. Yes, I want to begin with this question of what does an elder do? And the Bible really doesn't tell us much of what specifically an elder is supposed to do. Did you know that? There is only one passage in the whole New Testament that actually gives a specific action that an elder is supposed to do. Does anybody know what that passage is? I hear mumbling. Do what? Hello? Hello? I'll give you hints in the book of James. Anoint the sick. Thank you. Johnny Garner, thank you for doing that. That if someone is sick, that the elders are to anoint that person with oil and pray for them. That is a specific action that elders are supposed to do. That's the only verse in the New Testament that tells us a specific action of what an elder is supposed to do. And so because of that, there can be a lot of thoughts on what an elder is supposed to be doing. And sometimes we even take models from the business world or from the professional world, and we kind of adopt those and say, well, that's what an elder is supposed to be, kind of like a board of directors or CEO or something like that. And what I want to do to start off with is just kind of ground us in Scripture on what an elder is all about. And really, if we look at the term of an elder or a shepherd or an overseer, I think that helps us understand what elders are supposed to be doing. And that, first of all, that an elder is a shepherd. And what we mean by that, it says in Acts chapter 20 that Paul tells the elders to shepherd the flock. What we mean by that is to be concerned about the spiritual needs of the church. So our elders are to be concerned about all of our spiritual issues. And the way that they are to do that, I think primarily, is to pray. To pray for our church, to pray with us. That's why they stand up during the invitation song, to pray with us when we're going through difficult times, to meet with us. Sometimes people ask if they can meet with the elders, for the elders to pray over them. That's what elders are supposed to do. That's shepherding the flock. I think another way they do that is through mentoring. And so coming alongside of someone or a couple or a family and offering some counsel, trying to help them along through difficult times. Our elders are supposed to all be about that. Because they are supposed to shepherd the flock. Number two, I think the elder does oversee. And a lot of times when we talk about elders and we pray for elders, the general, generic elder prayer is, be with our elders and the decisions that they make. Help them make good decisions. And that is true. Our elders have to make some high-level decisions. They have to make decisions like, we're going to add new elders. They have to make decisions like, we're going to hire a youth minister, as we did with Evan. They have to make some of these big, broad-level decisions. But really, overseeing is more about wisdom, offering wisdom to the body. And so someone has a new ministry idea. The elder's job is to offer wisdom to them. Someone's being discouraged about something going on in church, elders are to offer wisdom to them. That's how a lot of times the overseeing process works, not through micromanaging everyone, but instead just offering guidance and wisdom to the church on how God wants us to be. And then finally, I think just being an elder means guiding the church. And the way that I think elders do that is by setting the tone. Setting the tone of, okay, here's the kind of people that we're going to be. I'm going to live this out. I'm going to set an example for the church. And people are going to be able to look at my life and see, okay, this is the kind of people that we want to be as a church. Obviously, this happens through teaching as well and equipping the body. We have a lot of our elders who spend a lot of time in the classroom and adult education and on Wednesday night, because that's a part of their role, is teaching us, guiding us, setting the tone for the church, equipping us. That's a key part of their role. And so as we think about adding new elders, I think keeping these three ideas might be helpful to us. That this is who an elder is someone who's going to be praying fervently for the church, mentoring people in the church, someone who's offering wisdom, guidance. Yes, have to make some high-level decisions. You know, ever so often when someone's praying before the giving on Sunday mornings, they'll say, you know, bless the money that's taken up and bless the elders as they make decisions on how the money is spent. And I've often thought, okay, that's the wrong prayer. We need to pray that the members make good decisions on spending the money, because most of the time that's who it is, the spending the money. The elders make high-level decision about the budget maybe, but the day-to-day decisions are many of us. And that's the way it ought to be. The elders don't need to be micromanaging, but just simply offering wisdom, guidance, and then setting the tone through teaching and equipping. So that's kind of who elders are. And maybe the main point of that I want to get across is elders are leaders. They lead us. They lead the church. And I want us to think about them in that manner. Because elders are leaders, we want our elders to be men of good character. Because leadership begins with character. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1, we have all these qualifications of elders. And there's 15 different qualifications of elders. I'm sorry, 22 characteristics for elders. Some that are positive and some that are negative in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And I think the way to look at those qualifications is not as a checklist where you say, okay, you know, do they have a family of children and believe? Okay, check. Are they not addicted to much wine? Okay, check. Are they hospitable? Okay, check. Not to view it like that, okay? That's viewing the Bible as a legal document, which it's not. Instead, to view these qualifications as more of a sign pointer that's pointing us a direction. And the direction that these qualifications are pointing is to character. That Paul was telling Timothy and Titus, find men of character. Find men who are grounded in their faith. Find men who have demonstrated in their family and in their life that they have good, strong character. And I think the best way to summarize character is with the question of who do you trust? Because if someone has good character, then you're going to trust them. You're going to trust them to do the right thing. You're going to trust them to be walking with the Lord. You're going to trust them to make a good decision. You're going to trust them to know how to handle difficult situations. You're going to trust them. They're trustworthy people. People of character, we trust. And I think that's a good way to boil all that down. As you're working through 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, thinking about who you want to recommend, think about that question. Who do I trust? Who do I just trust to follow the Lord and do the right thing? You know, in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, the first characteristic that's given is that a man should be above reproach. It's the first one given in 1 Timothy 3, and it's the last one given in 1 Timothy 3, and it's the first one in Titus 1. I think, in many ways, that characteristic is a summary of the whole list. That when you're thinking about an elder, you want to think about someone who's above reproach, which means they are trustworthy. You can count on them. You can depend on them. You know that they have good character and they're going to do the right thing. I think that's where we start when we think about leaders. We are to think about character, trustworthiness. Do we depend on them to be able to do the right thing and follow the Lord? That's the first place that we want to start. And so as you're thinking through who you want to recommend, start there. Ask those kinds of questions, because for our future leadership, we need men of character. Okay? Y'all amen that? I want this to be participatory, okay? So you hear something you agree with, say amen, please. Did you hear about the preacher who said if I don't hear amen, I'm gonna go five, or no, I'm sorry, I messed up. Never mind. I was gonna tell a joke and I'm mixed up. Let's go to the next slide. But there's a second point that I want to get across, and that is character is not enough. And I want you to think through this with me. In order to have good elders, we need men of character. But character is not enough. There's a lot of men who have been recommended to be elders who are good men, who love the Lord, but they're not good leaders. They're not gifted to lead. Not everybody who has good character is gifted to lead. Not everybody who's gifted to lead has character. That's true. And so as we think about elders, we want to do two things. First of all, we want to think about character and who do we trust, and we want to look at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. But we also want to take a step further and think about who's actually gifted to lead. You know, it's pretty complex to lead the body of Christ. It can be kind of difficult. And if someone doesn't have some of those gifts to lead, it's going to be very hard for them as an elder. And I think a good passage to turn to on this question is Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want us to look at this together. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. It says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also ascended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And so Paul is saying that Christ, and one thing that he has done in ascending back to heaven is he has given gifts to the church. And these gifts talked about in Ephesians 4, and these aren't the only gifts that Christ has given, but these gifts talked about in Ephesians 4 to me seem like leadership gifts. Because these gifts, it says, help the body be built up, and it helps the body to have unity, helps the body to have knowledge, and it helps the body become mature. And so these are the gifts of leadership that Christ has given the church to help us grow up and be mature. And he mentions these five: apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And maybe you've studied this passage before and you've thought about this, and you've thought about, okay, you know, there's different people who fill these roles. What I want you to do this morning is I want you to think about this passage maybe in a little different way. I want you to think about this passage in terms of giftedness. And instead of just saying, okay, there are people who are our apostles, you know, Peter, James, and John, and there are people who are prophets like Agabus in the book of Acts, and you know, there are people who are evangelists like Timothy, and then there are people who are shepherds like our elders today, and there are people who are teachers who are like Bible class teachers, you know, today. Instead of thinking about it as roles, I want you to think about it as giftedness. That these are gifts of leadership that we all can share in and that we can all have. And so instead of thinking it as, okay, there are people who are apostles, think about it instead that there are people who have apostolic gifts. And there are people who have prophetic gifts. And there are people who are evangelistically gifted. And there are people who have shepherding gifts. And there are people who have teaching gifts. I want you to think about it in that way. Because I think that is true to the intention of the text, that it says that Christ gave gifts to the church. And here are some of the gifts that he gave: this apostolic, prophetic, teaching, shepherding, evangelist, those kinds of gifts. Now you might say, okay, Steve, I follow you so far. But what are these gifts? I've never really heard, maybe you've never heard of someone having an apostolic gift. You know, and probably if someone said that, you'd probably say, you need to go to a different church or something. You know? What does this mean? Well, I want to do a little separation here. First of all, when we talk about apostolic, our minds immediately think about the apostles, 12 apostles. Okay, and so definitely they were apostles in the true sense of the word. But really the word apostle, there's nothing special about that word. Did you know that? It just simply means one who is sent. Okay? So, you know, a teacher sends a child to go run an errand. That child is an apostle right then. There you go. You can say that. They won't understand what you mean when you say that. But it's true. One who is sent. And so there are people in the New Testament who are referred to as having the ministry of apostleship, or who are being apostles, not because they're one of the 12, but because they have been sent for a purpose, particularly of spreading the gospel. And so I want you to understand those distinctions. We're not talking about the 12 apostles. We're talking about apostolic gift, which would be someone who feels a calling to share the gospel broadly. That is someone who has an apostolic gift. Someone who feels sent, who's just very passionate. Maybe another way of putting it is an apostolic person is a pioneer. They're just someone who's always thinking about, what's that new ministry that we can start? And how do we get the gospel to that neighborhood over there? And you know, how can we reach this context? They're just always thinking about the next and how we can take the gospel beyond where we are currently, because they feel sent. That's a person who's apostolic. Typically, people who have this kind of gift, they're risk takers. They're bold. They're ready to just launch out there and say, hey, we can do it, and we can go do this. And they just have that spirit about them. The people who have apostolic gifts from time to time, they're extenders, you might say. They're constantly thinking, how can we extend our ministry? How can we make it bigger? How can we reach more people? Apostolic people wear you out, okay? They wear you out. It's like, man, can we just be content with where we are right now? Do we have to constantly think about the next thing? They kind of wear you out. That's one of the downsides. Sometimes they don't always think things through. They just launch out there, and they're kind of that entrepreneurial spirit that says, hey, we're going to do this. The Lord has called us. He's sent us, and we're going to go. That's an apostolic person. Maybe a good example of this in Scripture is Paul. Paul had an apostolic gift. He felt sent. He did not stay in one place very long. Did you know that? Corinth stayed about 18 months, which was pretty long for Paul. Why? Because he just always had this calling. I need to go to the next thing. I need to go to the next city because they need to know the gospel over there too. And we need to go to the city after that because they need to know the gospel there too. And I need to go over to Rome, and I need to get on to further beyond Asia. And I got to go because they need to know the gospel. That's that apostolic gift burning in Paul. That's different than Peter or James. They didn't have that as much. So Paul was different in that sense, and that he was that pioneer. And so this apostolic gift. And so as we think about adding elders, we want to think, first of all, are there men of character that we trust? But secondly, we want to think, does anybody have an apostolic gift? Because that's a gift of leadership that helps mature the church. And so we need somebody who has that kind of gift in our leadership team, who's going to be constantly pushing us to think about how do we take the gospel further. We need someone with that kind of gift. All right, number two, let's talk about the prophetic gift. Again, we need to do some separation here, Because we think about prophets in the New and Old Testament, we think about people who were supernaturally gifted and that they could see the future. I want you right now to remove that from your mind. That is not what a prophet is. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. That's what a prophet is. Now, in some cases, they did kind of say what down the road is going to happen in the future. But primarily, what a prophet did was speak for God. And so someone who has a prophetic gift is someone who's just really sensitive to Scripture and just walks really closely to the Lord. And they just always seem to be able to say that right sentence or ask that right question that just makes you really think about your walk with God. Do you have someone like that in your life? And it's like they say something to you, you're like, man, I never thought about that. You know, they just something I needed to hear. That's someone who has a prophetic gift. There's someone who is, like I mentioned, sensitive to Scripture. They raise tough and hard questions. This is the person who's in the meeting, and they don't say anything until the very end. And everybody's talked in the meeting, and they've all got together their plan, and they all know what they're going to do. And then this person who's back in the corner hadn't said anything the whole meeting. He says, but what about this? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, we got to go back to the drawing board. Okay, you hate those people, right? I mean, you just wish they weren't even in the room. That's that prophetic gift. It's that person who asks the tough questions, who raise the elephant in the room, who aren't afraid to say, hey, guys, we got to talk about this. It's like, man, I don't want to talk about this. But it's the prophetic gift that brings that out and says, we've got to talk about this. This is too crucial of an issue. It's too crucial of a question. We want to stay close to the mission of God, and I don't know if we're doing it. They're willing to challenge the status quo. People with prophetic gifts, they make us nervous. Okay? They make us nervous. Because they always are asking those tough questions. They're raising things that make us uncomfortable. They're just that kind of person. Maybe an example in Scripture would be Stephen. Remember the story of Stephen in Acts chapter 8, where he preaches this powerful sermon, or Acts chapter 7, excuse me, preaches this powerful sermon, but it's a hard word from the Lord. I mean, it's a tough word. He challenges the status quo. He speaks to those Pharisees, and he is very point blank in what he says, and they stoned him for it. But he said what was needed to be said. Because it needed to be heard. Prophetic, people who have the prophetic gift, they don't say what you want to hear, they say what you need to hear. And Stephen did that. Now, people didn't like it, but he did that. And so as we think about who we want to recommend for elders, not only do we want to think about men of character, we want to think about who has that prophetic gift. Who has the courage and that boldness to say what needs to be said, to raise that tough question, to say, I think the Lord's really pushing us this way. We need someone like that in our leadership team. Because this, again, these are gifts of leadership that Christ has given the church to help us become mature. And so we need people like that who have that kind of gift. And then number three, and we're just going to talk about three today, so don't worry. Number three, evangelistic. Someone who has the evangelistic gift is someone who just has a heart for the lost. Their heart beats for people who don't know Jesus. That's what they pray about. That's what they think about. That's what gets their energy pumping, their blood pumping, is people who don't know Jesus and proclaiming the gospel to them. That's someone who has an evangelistic gift. It's a person who is just really wanting us to be engaged in the neighborhood, person who's willing to walk the streets and talk to people. Someone who has an evangelistic gift, they can talk to anybody. I mean, they can talk to a telephone pole. I mean, they'll talk to anybody. As long as they're willing to listen, they'll strike up the conversation and they'll start talking. There's some of us, we don't have that gift, and you know, we're nervous about talking to people, but you've got the evangelistic gift, it's not a problem. You'll talk to people, and you love inviting people. When you have evangelistic gift, you just love inviting people. Inviting them to church, inviting them to your home, inviting them to parties, inviting them. You just love to invite. You're kind of one of those connector peoples that just love bringing people in and connecting people in. That's people who have the evangelistic gift. The invitational spirit communicates the gospel well. Maybe a good example of this in Scripture is Peter. In Acts chapter 2, he preaches the very first gospel sermon. He communicates the gospel to the crowd. Acts chapter 4, heals the lame man. And after he heals the lame man, there becomes this crowd. And what does Peter do? Start talking about Jesus, because that's what he knows to do. We could talk about Andrew, who was always inviting people to come see Jesus. Other people like that in Scripture. That's the evangelistic gift. So as we're thinking about recommending elders, first we want to think about men of character, men who we trust. But then secondly, who has an evangelistic gift? We need someone with an evangelistic gift among our elders. Amen? Because these are gifts for leadership, to lead the church to become mature. And so we want to think about that. I want to say just a couple of final comments, and then next week we'll talk about the shepherding and teaching gifts. And then if anybody has a question or comment, we might have a little time for that. You know, we believe here at Southside in a plurality of leadership. What does that mean? Plurality. More than one. Thank you. More than one. We believe that. We believe that is Scripture inspired, that we're to have multiple leaders. I think that is theologically rooted. And you think about the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Spirit. God is community. Our leadership is a community of men. The elders along with the ministers who lead our church. And they work like a team. They work like a team. They work together. They help one another. They minister to one another. And they work together as a team. Our elders don't use Robert's Rules of Order to make decisions. Instead, they work like a team. And they try to make sure everybody's on the same page. And they try to bring everybody in. They try to make sure that everybody is, there's a consensus. There's very few votes. When there's big decisions, very few votes that happen. Because we're a team. We're a team. This is not a hierarchy. It's a team where we're working together, where we're all engaged. Because they are a team, they're mutually submissive to one another. Which means it's not one elder who's over them all. There's no senior pastor here at Southside. Hello? Okay? I'm not the senior pastor. There's none of the elders are the senior pastor. Why? Because we have leadership in a team. They work together and they're submissive to one another. I think that's the way Christ intended it to be. But here's the key point that I want you to hear this morning. Because we are a plurality of leadership, we need a plurality of gifts. We need a group that has a number of different gifts. If the whole group is all really heavy on teaching gifts, what's going to happen to our church? We're going to know Scripture really, really well, but we're never going to take it out there. What's going to happen if our eldership is all weighted to apostolic gifts? There's going to be a lot of new ministries and a lot of risks that are going to be taken, but boy, you know, we're not going to know what's going to happen Sunday to Sunday. Things could change really quickly. And so what we want to see happen is we want to see a plurality of gifts develop within the leaders, to where we've got apostolic gifts, and we've got evangelistic gifts, and prophetic gifts, and teaching gifts, and shepherding gifts that are all represented in the team. Because according to Christ in Ephesians 4, that's what Christ has given the church to lead the church and to mature the church. And so we want to make sure that all of those gifts are represented in our leadership. And so next week when we start, you know, passing out the forms and you can start, you know, recommending people, we're going to ask you to put down which gift or maybe a couple gifts that this person has. Do they have the apostolic gift, prophetic gift, evangelistic gift, teaching gift, or shepherding gift? We want you to put that down, because to the committee that's working and to the elders, that's really important, because we want to make sure we have a plurality of gifts among our plurality of leaders. And let me just add one little extra footnote, and I have it in the next point here. Few elders are selected with strong apostolic, prophetic, and evangelistic gifts. Traditionally, when we submit names of men who are good teachers and good shepherds. And that's makes sense because we want people who are good at ministering to us. But I want to encourage us as we go through this cycle, as we go through this process, to really try to think through who's got an apostolic, prophetic, and evangelistic gift, because we need some of those in our leadership. It's crucial. It's important. Because according to Paul, this is what Christ has given the church, and we need these gifts to help lead our church. So I want you to be thinking about that. Even though that person with the apostolic gift might make you a little nervous from time to time because they're always thinking about, you know, what's next? Or that person with the prophetic gift always seem to raise that question. People who have prophetic gifts, they can be sometimes a little abrasive. That's one of their downsides. And so it's like, oh, that person always raising that tough question. That's okay. We need those gifts. And so I want you to think about who has those gifts as well as the teaching and shepherding, because we need those in leadership. I'm going to stop there, and we've got, I don't know, about 5 minutes or so. Questions or comments or additions that someone might want to say in what I've talked about. Yes, sir. Right, absolutely.
And you mentioned I was doing some work on transformational leadership, and it said it's not always applicable for every time to be that type of leader. And so sometimes I find within the gifts that we find that we may be a good shepherd, but we need to be able to transfer into a different method of leadership, perhaps a more for our neighborhood and things like mm-hmm. that. And so a good one leader learns balance of when to change emphasis and styles and stuff. So I
yeah.
think it's the,
Thank you.
That's part of the wisdom.
You know, one thing that I heard you say is, you know, Christ supplies what we need. And so, you know, in what the church needs, Christ provides that. And, you know, when we're lacking a certain gift, I think Christ raises up someone to help us with that. And I think, appreciate your other point, we all are multiply gifted in many different ways, and that's the beauty of God's Spirit, is that he grants us many different gifts, and we can grow those gifts and develop and cultivate gifts. And Ephesians 4 isn't the only place that talks about giftedness. Romans 12 talks about it. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about it as well. And there's many different gifts that God's Spirit gives us. We want to focus on Ephesians 4 just because we think these are gifts for leadership, and I think they're really helpful for us to think about. But you're right. You know, as you put forward a name, he might be gifted in a couple of different areas, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's true, I think. So that's good. Someone else have a question or comment? Okay, everybody's quiet, soaking it all in. So that's good. Well, then I'll lead us in a word of prayer, and hopefully this is helpful for you as we think about who we want to put forward as our future elders. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of study, this time of looking at Scripture, and we do pray for the men that are going to be added and their families that are going to be added to our elder team, and we pray that you would raise up the right men with the right set of gifts, and we pray that you would give us men and families that have great character, but also who are gifted to lead. And we pray for a plurality of gifts, Lord. We pray for a multiplicity of gifts to fill our leadership so that we can grow, as Paul said, that we can gain knowledge, that we can be equipped, so that we can develop maturity, so that we can be your people in this place. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.